Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Prospect Park sues ABC for breach of contract. Steffi has a biker wedding on Bold and Beautiful. Chriselle Stouse joins Days of Our Lives. M. Ryland debuts on General Hospital. And Jeannie Cooper leaves the ICU. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello, Luke. Lucas Lorenzo Kerr. We using everybody's name. People know my name, Chet.
Reagan, welcome.
Hello.
And Melody, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, a lot of this last week's soap episodes were preempted because of the Boston Marathon bombing. I would just like to start this out by saying our thoughts go to the families and the victims of that. Also, our thoughts are with Jeannie Cooper and her family. Corbin Birdson, her son, asked for people's prayers throughout the last week as she was in the hospital. Thankfully, she's out of the ICU now. Let's talk a little bit about The Young and the Restless. Jillian, thoughts on what this illness for Jeannie Cooper might mean for the character of Catherine Chancellor?
Well, I mean, it's kind of eerie how life is imitating art. I mean, you know, on the show, Catherine is battling an illness and Jeannie's battling an illness. I mean, I guess they're going to have to, you know, keep writing that in that she's sick. I mean, our thoughts and prayers are with Jeannie and hope, you know, the grand dame comes back so she could, you know, she the only one who could ho check victim, like, Victor, shut your ass up. So I don't know how they're going to do this. I mean, I would think they would try to, like, mirror it. I don't think that Jill is a lot of things. I don't think Jill going to be up in that ICU and be like, all right now, Jeannie, let's go. No, I mean, I think they're going to write her out until Jeannie's back up to her old self again, so.
And that would be appropriate, though she would be very much missed, wouldn't she, Mel?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, you know, Jeannie Cooper and Catherine Chancellor is such a heart of The Young and the Restless. It's kind of, you know, we feel lost without her, without on the show. So definitely all thoughts and prayers with Jeannie. Pray that she gets better. It was nice to see that tweet from her son today where Corbin said, I asked mom to give me a thumbs up and she gave me this. And please go see the tweet. It is fantastic.
Jeannie, she gave her son the bird?
Yes, two of them. It was fantastic. So she's feeling, you can tell, like, you know, okay, she's getting back to her old self. So I'm so happy about that. But
she said, Corbin, stop tweeting that, damn it.
Someone who isn't herself on The Young and the Restless is Lauren, who's still struggling with her feelings.
Okay, I'm going to have to jump in here. This is
Get him, Jillian.
Lauren Femmel was a hellcat. This is the broad who was married to Paul and put the whammy on young Buck Brad to make Brad have a heart attack. So
I'm not denying any of that. All I'm saying, she's struggling with her feelings. And this last week, I thought it was very interesting in the scenes where Michael and her were trying to be intimate, and she actually cringed at what he perceived as cringing, but she was really having a flashback of Carmine. Mel?
Lauren was cringing at Michael. And you know why? Because Michael does not hit it like Carmine hits it. Tell the truth and shame that devil. That's why she's like, I can't even do this no more. That's the reason. And I'm not even mad at it. I'm not even mad. I wish I could be, because I do like Lauren and Michael. But Lauren and Carmine are just so hot. And it's Lauren back to her bad girl ways. And, it's fantastic.
This is Lauren. Like, I see a lot of people, you know, chiming in. Oh, this is not like her. They're ruining character. Obviously, y'all are new viewers because this is Lauren Fenmore. When Lauren got married,
I never said anything about her ruining characters.
I never said you. I said people say that. I did not say that you. Thank you. See how you want to be slick? People are, you know, I see people in the comments and on Twitter and Facebook chilling. They are ruining her character. That's not how Lauren is. Yes, it is. When Lauren got married to Michael, of all people, which is, that's the irony of it. Michael pretty much domesticated Lauren.
Yep.
Lauren was not this, oh, Kevin, don't you do that. Eden, Indigo, Magenta, whatever that girl name is, don't you do that. Come buy some Fenmore panties. Lauren would have been the one to tell Phyllis, yo, we gonna who ride by Sharon House to beat that hoe down for messing with Nick. Like, Lauren is a hellcat. Only when she got with Michael, she's been domesticated. I actually like the fact that they're making Lauren do this because, I mean, for so long, she and Michael were the only couple in Genoa City that never, that they were like the quote-unquote perfect couple, that they were untarnished. And this gives Tracy Brigman something to do.
Yes.
And this gives Kristen LeBlanc something to do besides, you know, Victor, you can't cut those chilling out of your wheel. Come on, or Phyllis, stop being like that. This gives them something to do. And I hope it makes Michael tap back into his dark side because we know Michael Baldwin has a little dark side. We all know this whole domesticated side, it's cute and everything, but we need for Lauren and Michael. This is spicing it up. I mean, you wanted Lauren with, I find it so funny though, the week before the whole Lauren and Carmine thing happens, this is something that Lucas Lorenzo Kerr asked for, y'all. He wanted them to hunch, and they hunching.
I'm not complaining about it. I like them together.
Yeah, I mean, this is good soap. This is good shit. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Oh, it's very good soap. Oh, yeah. I think the fact that their marriage is crumbling and her having this affair, I think it's actually real, very realistic. It's not even that it's good soap. It's like a real story that's playing out. And I almost feel like they're kind of going down this twisted little role or path with Carmine where he's going to do like that I kind of lost my train of thought now, but you know that like where he's getting a little obsessed with Laura. Now he's like trying to be Fenmore.
They better not make him obsessive.
Well, he's trying to be friends with Fenmore, and I mean, I think they might go down that path. I do not want to see
Carmine lose his mind over.
I'm not saying lose his mind. I'm saying he's getting a little obsessive, where he's showing up at her house and kind of getting risky with their affair, and then he pops up at the coffee shop and he's, you know, oh, can I be your friend, Fenmore? You look like you need a friend. I mean, he's getting a little
obsessive. You think he's doing that just to try and get into more into Lauren's good graces? Like, look, I get along with your son.
I don't know.
You know?
For whatever the reason is, it's a little obsessive.
It's really early to tell now. You know, I can't. I don't. That's why I'm not chiming in saying he wants her good graces or he's just being obsessive. This is sort of like they're making Carmine sort of like Michael and Lauren hybrid. Like, if Michael and Lauren were to have a kid, this is what this kid should have been like instead of like creepy femme. Well, that boy is just. I mean, that boy is Michael's son. I'm like, I'm kind of wondering if Sheila came back and like did something and whatever.
I'm just convinced that Lauren's kids are creepy because when they brought back the older boy a few years ago, he was sort of creepy too. Reagan, I wanted to ask you about something earlier. I believe it was Julian who mentioned Wedded Bliss. What do you think of Nick and Avery and her accepting the proposal?
Oh, for God. It's so. I'm sorry. They're so boring. They're so. I do not believe for 1 minute that they even like each other, let alone love each other.
The best thing about this last week was when Little Summer was throwing the cookies around.
Faith, sorry.
Someone's gonna throw something around, all right? But it ain't thanks. She wants to throw around.
You know, I rather see them take Steve Burton towards Melissa Claire Egan than with Avery, but God damn, Avery and Nick they're like watching paint dry. So they might want to go Avery and.
Well, Mel, I wanted to ask you this last week. Or over the past couple weeks, we've seen Victoria say she wants to have a baby. She wants to have a baby.
God, they're
going to spend all this time making a baby, and she's taking injections and her hormones or whatever. And now, all of a sudden, she wants to be back at Newman because she sees Adam as a threat. What do you think of all of this, and do you think that she can really do anything against Adam?
No, not this version of Victoria. Absolutely not, because she ain't gonna do nothing but sit there and cry in a corner and maybe try to comb my hair or something ridiculous. I'm so over Victoria, and I hate to say that because I used to love this character, but and it's clear that I don't think the writers know what to do with her. They're like, oh, we're gonna have a baby. Oh, we're gonna put it back in Newman. I don't know what to do with her.
See, I don't understand it because before Maria got on there, Josh wrote for Amelia, and he had Victoria sort of like a little, she was still, she wasn't as badass as Heather Tom. I mean,
No,
that's just not gonna happen.
that will never
It's not gonna
happen.
happen. It's not gonna happen. We all know our strengths and weaknesses, but we're moving on. But he still had Victoria as a business savvy person that was all into business. I don't understand why, I get that you don't want to gradually shift the character like Maria did, but we would just like for you to tweak her back into what she used to be. I mean, y'all saw what the spoilers I put in there, like, spoiler alert for those that don't like the spoilers. Anyways, I did my spoiler alert, so there. When Victoria goes to have her, to do the treatments to have a kid, all of a sudden, and I did not like when Maria did this, so Josh, I'm gonna have to spank my hand at you and say no. When she does these fertility treatments, the fertility treatments are gonna have her quote unquote obsessed with nailing Adam. Like, that's one of the side effects.
Are you
Don't
kidding?
do that. Do not do that. Maria did that when she went back. Did that when like some shit fell on Victoria's head and
What kind of stuff do you ladies inject into yourselves?
It's not even, it doesn't happen. It's
But
so
no,
stupid.
my thing is this: if you want Victoria to go back to her cutthroat ways, have her go back. Like, have her be like, she wants a kid with Billy, but then she just, as she's watching Adam weasel under their father's good graces, it just starts to gnaw at her. Like, some business crisis comes up, and Victoria chimes in when Victor is at the club, or they're at the ranch, and Adam's like, no, boo, I got this, I got this. You stay home and make them babies. And for Victoria to be like, I know this bitch didn't, and I was running this mofo. I was the one doing brash and sassy. For her to just get it, just to get under her skin, and for her to just be like, bump this. I'm coming back to Newman, and I'm taking my spot. And for Adam to be like, bitch, please, you wanted to pop out more of them Abbott babies. Go sit back there. And for them to gradually start to duke it out, not only for Newman,
Yes.
but for the one to say, I am Victor Newman's kid. I don't like this whole, a personality switch. Maria did that when, you remember Mel, and if Reagan was watching at the time, and Luke, when she was with JT and she was all, I don't want to be a part of the family business. Get her.
That was in the days of really frizzy hair.
Like, and like she was.
Finger in the light electric plug.
Yeah, like, and she was all, something hit her in the head, and JT's all, your attitude, what's wrong with you? Don't do that. Just bring it, gradually make her come back into her old self, and for her to be like, you know what, Billy, this happy homemaker shit ain't for me. You know damn well that's not my stilo. And you know what I mean? Like, if Billy's, creeping, doing his gambling thing again, why not make Victoria come out to be a, just for her to just not want to be the happy homemaker anymore? You don't have to do blame it on the fertility drugs. Blame it on Adam schmoozing with their father and Victor rubbing it in her face. And she's like, I am sick and tired of my mumbling daddy. This fool wanted to put him in jail. And this is the thanks I get. And for her to just lose her shit and to come back for her spot. We all know I'm fine with the Nick not being in Newman part. The club thing is stupid.
Yes.
I'm fine with
I still think that Mel's idea is the best one.
what? I mean,
The strip club.
No.
Underground strip club. Jillian, I want to ask you though real quick, and actually I want to ask all three of you, going around the circle before we move on to General Hospital, were your guys' thoughts of Big Red and Jack in Istanbul?
You mean on the back lot of Sony? It sounds like they're setting it up to be good stuff. I mean, it is what it is. I like the fact that they're bringing my Tracy home. I hope they, yes, I just like that part, because Tracy's gonna come home. She's not gonna like Phyllis hunching her brother, but I also want Tracy to be the one to be like, when Lauren's marriage is on the rocks, for Tracy to be like, you can't teach her, you can't teach a so it is true. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. For her to just be like, "Bitch, I knew once a hoe, always a hoe." Michael, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. For Tracy to chime in on that, that's what I'm
Did you want to
hoping.
restart Lauren versus
Wouldn't it
Tracy?
be great if it's Tracy who catches her in Carmine?
Yes. Oh my god.
Reagan, what are your thoughts on Big Red and Jack?
They were just okay. It was kind of, I mean, they're. I don't really. I like Phyllis. There are moments with the two of them where I find them to be, you know, a good pair, and then there are times where, again, I find them to be boring. I for some reason, there's. I feel like there's like this spark missing with a lot of these Young and the Restless pairings. That I don't know what it is. They need some better writing and or something. They need something to kind of like give them a little kick. All of these couples,
right? Or Mel?
I can't help myself. I loved it, but I have always loved Jack and Phyllis. You know,
Amen.
From back in the day. So seeing them happy again, it just makes me smile, and I'm just like, oh, I love them. But I'm like, okay, don't make them too happy because that has the potential to become boring. And oh wow,
well, well you know what could cause them a whole lot of drama is if a certain paternity. Test results.
I don't know.
No.
It would be interesting.
I mean, I've seen in interviews that Josh has been hinting around with that girl who plays Summer. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Before, years ago, when Summer was still, well, you know, maybe six months ago when Summer was a baby, you know, I wouldn't have mind that. But now that she's like lusting after Kyle and everything, I mean, that would make great drama. But I mean, this also, I'm like, hello, were you the writer who wrote Jammy? I'm like, Josh, you cut that out. I know they were fans of that, but I don't like
We've
it.
Already done something like Young and the Restless with Billy and Mac anyway.
So. Yeah, so don't do that again.
Well, you speak of Jammy, that was a Guiding Light couple. A former Guiding Light, former Young and the Restless actress, is now on General Hospital as Lulu, Emmy Ryland. Reagan, you have the least experience with her as an actress, I believe. So what are your first impressions?
She was great. I mean, she was my pick for Lulu. You know, I think anybody stepping into a role like that, where Julia Marie Berman had it for so long, and she even had a little bit of a shaky start, and I think she had the nickname Shrulu for a while. But she...
That wasn't because of the shaky start.
Well, I guess when she overacted in certain parts of her career.
That's because Lulu was all up in people's business. That's why people called
but,
her that.
You know, it's very much been her role. And, you know, I thought I learned at the recent event I went to is how she is going by, not M-E, M, Rylan. Everyone seems to have been having a really good time with her on set, and she's hopped right in. And I think, you know, she's doing pretty well. And it seems like, you know, this amnesia storyline is going to be a nice transition for a new actor.
I loved it when she.
I was going to say that was the perfect way to recast a character. Wipe out their memory, have them be in love, potentially quote unquote, with a villain, and set it down a new course of
I
tracks.
Loved
Jillian,
it when she said, "What type of name was Lula?" I said, "Thank you, Jesus." When Laura birthed it, that second baby, I said it as a child too. I was like, Lulu? I'm like, Billy Bob, y'all from the South? I'm like, are y'all black? Y'all got some black blood in y'all with these rigged up names? What is this? I'm like, y'all might as well name her Latonka then. I'm like, ugh, I hate that name. Pick a name, shit. I like Emmy in the role. I was the Stavros thing shocked me. You got me there, GH. You got me there. Y'all know we always on the pulse of shit. When that mofo busted up in there, I was like, ow! Said, no, y'all did not pass. Y'all just put that under the radar. Y'all some bad bastards. Loved it. Although I am, you know, Robert Kelker Kelly just is so
think he is. Not, he, so other than his beard color, he is not Asian.
The song, that's the, I don't mind that. That looks,
well, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying he doesn't look a day older.
He is fine. I'm like, damn. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Shamalama. Thank you. But I did have, I am worried about his health, though, because, Lord Jesus, all that ham he ate in them seas.
Wasn't the only one.
Tony was hungry. Was hungry.
and so was Jeannie Francis.
As Reagan and I were talking about on Instant Messenger, it's a really scary day when Dominic Zumpronga is the one who's acting circled around other people.
He's
a good actor.
He was the only one in there that didn't try to eat the set.
I'm a couple really... y'all. Because Tony Gary sat at the table when Sarah slammed his hand down, and then all of a sudden Laura, Tony looked at her like, bitch, you know we acting right. Calm down. Like, use your inside voice. Tony had that look like, use your inside voice. Whisper. Throw up some sound.
Some of the dialogue did not help them, because wasn't there like some, like, I took her ice fishing and now she's on ice. I mean, seriously, come on.
It was hammy, but I will give Robert Kelker Kelly this, though. When Laura went to Stavros and said, Stavros, when she started breaking it down, when she was tired of Luke threatening, was like, shut up, Luke! When she went to Stavros and was like, Stavros, if you failed anything for me, please let my child go. And when he started looking conflicted and he started to cry, I was like, okay, you're bringing it home. I'm like, bring him home, Jeannie. Taxi that plane in. Taxi that bitch in. And when Dante hit that damn thing with that fire extinguisher, I was like, whoop, you done took him off again. He back to Hamville. Ugh. Jeannie brought him home. I mean, he sold me where he looked conflicted, and he looked like, I did love you, Laura. I always loved you, Laura. I'll let your child go. But then Dante with his fake Bensonhurst ass. Dante, you ain't from Bensonhurst, don't you ever?
Well, and there were some other technical, logical problems with it as well. I mean, it requires a fingerprint from a guard to get into it, but to close it, Jeannie Francis can just touch it and it doesn't work. There were some holes in there.
They can't always get it all right. This ain't Steven Spielberg, Luke. They, Frank said, bitch, I got $2 to my name now, shit, to run this show. Like, that's here nor there, but I'm talking about the acting. I mean, Robert started to bring it home. Jeannie brought it home, too, and Tony was like, look, Tony always, does his thing, but then when Dante hit that thing,
Tony, if there was a dishonorable mention for the week, he'd be getting it from me. Mel, what were your first impressions of M. Rylan on General Hospital, and your thoughts on scenery chewing or good acting?
I loved M. on General Hospital. I'm sorry, I wasn't the biggest fan of the prior actress who played Lulu. I'm sorry, I just wasn't. This wasn't for me. She was talented, she was, but it just didn't, it didn't move me. But I love Em. I've loved her since Guiding Light. Y'all know I have a soft spot for my Guiding Light actors. So, can I say? But she did a great job. I mean, having to lay there and look and kind of name a Lulu. So I thought she had great chemistry with, the actors and stuff. And then as for the scenery chewing that went on in that scene, I don't even, I'm sorry. For me, it was Jeannie. Like, she was doing the most.
What? You said Jeannie did the most over.
I'm sorry. You can kill me. You can rake me over the clothes, send your hate mail to me. I don't care. She was the one that I was like, oh, I don't know if I can make it.
Wait a minute. Let's pull this bus over. You thought that she ate more scenery than Robert? Oh.
No, not more than Robert. Because Robert was supposed to in this instance, because he was supposed to.
See, that was the impression I got from him. I thought that he was supposed to be like the mustache twirling. But I was like everything that Tony was doing, I was thinking in my mind, every scene with Lulu, I was comparing to his scenes with his fantastic acting in the Jake scenes, and the divergent in quality of acting between those two storylines was miles apart.
I kind of think those are apples and oranges. Luke ran, he boop,
He's supposed to be supposedly grieving over his supposedly dead daughter because he didn't yet know she was alive, still alive.
Luke, he did not play a hand in killing supposed daughter being dead. He ran his son's child, play child, over like a speed bump. So that's kind of different there. I mean, it's gonna stay in your mind that you killed your son's child, that you killed your grandchild, whereas your daughter's just laying up on ice. She just needs some icy hot to make her warm again, or something, or some tea or something to make her warm again. Apples and oranges, but oh, y'all thought that Tony was having it too.
Oh, I thought Tony was the worst out of all three of them.
Robert was supposed to, like, I agree. Robert was supposed to be a little over the top.
He was supposed to come across as a mustache twirling, and he did it perfectly. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that was good scenery chewing. What Tony did almost made me want to have someone take an Emmy back from him. It was just bad.
I didn't win
it. Those are pretty hard.
Reagan, they are recasting Morgan with an actor by the name of Brian Craig. What are your thoughts on this imminent return?
I think it's perfect timing. You know, typical summer, bring the younger set into town and do a little story with them for the summer. And I think it's, you know, time to bring him back and shake things up. You have Molly and Rafe and TJ. I think he's going to mix nicely in there now that they've aged him. And let's see what happens. I mean, he was born before Molly was, so...
Yeah.
He technically well, so was Cameron.
Jillian, I wanted to ask you about Sam because this past week she became his temporary legal guardian. What are your thoughts on that storyline?
I wonder if this is a way to usher back in Michael Easton when he comes back on the canvas. Because, I mean, look, we already know, yes.
You don't just get handed a child, though.
Wait. I mean, you know, we can't mention the McNugget no more. You know, you can't do that no more. McNugget. You know, you can't do that no more. But I wonder if this is a way that they're going to, like, usher Michael Easton back in. The Sam being this child's guardian, godmama, play mama, I'm like, you mean, I just had a question mark with that, and I really had a question mark when that boy was giving Sam the once over. I was like, ew, I know y'all ain't blood, but ew. I guess this is a way to keep that boy in Molly's orbit, so he can bust her and TJ up. I guess that's where they're gonna go with that. I don't know anything, but that's just, I'm assuming. They're going to keep this kid in that orbit. That's how you keep him in Molly's, you know, vicinity, so to speak. And maybe this is a way to bring some of them characters back on. Well, characters, them actors back on, you know, since can't be mentioned no more. I thought that was crazy shit, boy. I was like, huh? What?
Now, Mel, before we have Reagan tell us about her time at the Paley event, I want your thoughts on Connie's return.
Do I have to have thoughts on Connie's return? I just don't.
She's integrated.
Yeah, for right now, this week, next week. Oh, she might be. She might be Bonnie for all we know.
I know, right? Pat Sajak or something.
I don't believe that. I just can't. I don't believe that.
It was a little bit too wham, bam, bang, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was too, no, you can't call me Connie. No, you can't call me Kate Carly because that's going to make me regress and blah, blah, blah. And I'm too fragile for that. Oh, so pretty much you said that you're going to be unintegrated next week. Okay, that's
She's not integrated, though. She's Connie. She's still dressing like trash.
Yeah. I mean, and you told Carly.
I'm just convinced. I'm convinced she'll never, ever dress well. No matter how long she's still on this show. Her clothes and her hair will never look right.
Telling Carly of all people, you know that's the wrong thing to do. That's like letting a fat kid inside of a donut shop on the Telling Carly of all people the magic word to make you flip out. I mean, look, I like when Connie comes. Like, Ron has made me a fan of Connie because I'm like, anybody that tries to help my Tracy get her birthright back, you aces in my book, so you wore me down, damn it. But pick someone. Jesus. I can't, like, it's too much. You have to
I
watch.
do not want to see another DID
They have, I
storyline
don't,
in soaps
yeah.
for
She has
years.
too much going on now. You got Connie Kate. Something wrong with the Falconeri blood. You got Connie Kate over there. Then you got,
LSD
you
Olivia.
got fake you got fake Celeste from Bensonhurst over there. You got Dante, who ain't repping Brooklyn like he was supposed to, and Stavros in there running his mouth. I'm like, you supposed to chin check him with that fire extinguisher. Anybody I know from Brooklyn would have bust him upside the head, not let him talk. I'm like, what part of Brooklyn you from? Park Slope? That's the bougie part of Brooklyn, if y'all don't know. I mean, they got too much going on with the hand with they have too much going on with that. Like, they need to make Connie Kate eight plus eight. Somebody, and then because it's just too much, they have too much going on with that.
Or they could send her off of a tall cliff
That
at a
ain't
fast
happening.
speed.
Hush it. That ain't happening. Like, either make Olivia stop being psychic, because you suck as a psychic, Liv, or enter. Just it. It's just too much of that. It's just too much. It's just too much. It's just too much. And then you got yeah. And now Dante got frozen Stavros to worry about, because you know he probably ain't dead. You know Nicholas did something stupid, or some chef, or some cook, or some fool on that island. You know, put on hot water and warm that man up.
I'm fine with that.
Speaking of Nicholas, Tyler Christopher tweeted that he is going to be continuing at General Hospital. Reagan, you had a chance to speak with him on the red carpet at the Paley Center celebration for the 50th anniversary. Tell us your thoughts on his sticking around, as well as what took place at the event.
Well, when I talked to him that night, he was anticipating a pickup for the Lion Game, and I also talked to Kimberly McCullough, who is a fellow with the ABC directing program, and you know, she also said, because she had been working with the Lion Game as well, that they were just waiting on a pickup. So obviously, between then and now, something's happened, and something's a little messed up where it's being delayed. So good for GH. Sucks for fans of the Lion Game that it's going to be delayed, hopefully not delayed indefinitely. But you know, even at that time, Tyler had said that part of what they were trying to work out was for him to do both shows. Now, Lion Game films in Austin, Texas, you know, GH is in LA. So I would imagine if and when they do work it out, you're going to see Tyler or Nicholas coming and going, or maybe filming a lot of stuff at once that's going to air over a broader span of time while he's off in Austin filming the Lion Game. So he was great, though, to talk to. You know, we shared our love of, you know, the Buckeyes, which Jamie didn't quite get.
Cause Jamie probably
Overrated
think
team. Overrated team. Don't worry about it.
Shut up. Okay, we'll be talking overrated come football season, you
Yeah,
corn.
leave him alone with the
I know
Buckeyes.
Dell and I are
Jamie
perfectly capable as a football team.
Didn't know what that was. He was like, "What is that, a gang?" I said, "You know what the damn thing means." Jeez.
But I had a great time at the event. It was a very quick press line. They had just about an hour to come through before they went in for the moderated event, which is anybody who didn't watch the live stream, it was very much like, you know, inside the actor studio that they have on Bravo, moderated by, oh, I forget his name from TV Guide, but
Loon
yeah, it was. He did a great job. And then they, you know, it was very much a fan event, though. A lot of fans in the audience, a lot of fans waiting outside when we checked in.
They hissed him when they saw who you were.
I stayed
got
off
the biggest reaction.
I stayed off to the side. But you know, it was great. I got, you know, my first interview of the night was with Kirsten Storms, who plays Maxie, and she is just a doll. Love her. And you know, M. Ryland was there. I didn't get a chance to talk to her directly, but you know, she was there, got to, you know, sort of hang off to the side while she was talking to some other people. And you know, even she was shocked, she said, when she read her to the first line that Lulu says, which obviously was that she doesn't remember anything. So she was rather shocked with the amnesia storyline herself. Sort of the running theme, a lot of the actors, Frank, especially Frank, Ron is a little bit looser lips with what's going to be happening, but they don't find out a lot of what's going on until they get their scripts So a lot of times they'll read it and they'll be like, damn, that's what's going on. Even when I was talking to Fionnuala Hughes about Britt being found out to be Faison's daughter, she wasn't even, you know, that was a big shock to her. She like loved the twist in that storyline. Well, you may not like it, but Fionnuala liked it. And she wasn't even sure if it had aired yet that Faison was revealed to be Britt's father. And so she didn't even know if she let a cat out of the bag when I was talking to her.
I just thought of something. Stavros and Anna.
That could be hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the
was that a big old sigh I heard from Mel?
Yeah. But it was a really nice event. I thought they did a great job. I met a lot of really, really nice people. The actors were all great. I just wish I would have had more time to talk to everyone there.
Did you meet Nancy Lee?
No, Nancy Lee was not there. Kelly Monaco and Christina Wagner were supposed to be there, but they were not there. It was great to meet Teresa Castillo and Mark Samuels, who play Felix and Sabrina. So it was great having them there as two newer cast members that are getting a lot of buzz, and I got to spend some time with them.
Who do you think got the biggest reaction from fans?
I like the dude.
You know what? The fans weren't there where the press line was. The press line was off to the side. So at the end
of the audience then?
Huh?
In the audience then?
In the audience, probably, you know, Tony Geary and Jeannie Francis still get a huge response from fans. You know, Kimberly McCullough being there with Robin not actually airing on the show right now, she gets a big response because fans still love her.
Baby, come back.
Yeah, which, you know, I did talk to her. I think that article or interview was posted just the other day.
I
did talk to her about coming back, and she definitely wants to, but she's so entrenched in this directing program and other things that she's got going on with directing that it's just a matter of fitting it into her schedule. And if they actually, you know, want her to come back enough to work around her schedule. So
that director crack. I'm like, girl, you don't like no one credit.
It wasn't a crack. It was all in good fun. She's a huge fan of the show. And so she watches religiously just like any one of us. And so I was asking her what she thought about the nurse's ball. And, of course, Brooklyn, because that girl is just a gem.
She's so cute.
So, of course, I had to ask.
They better
ask
not sore ass character.
She's such a doll baby. She's so cute.
Yeah, she's adorable. But, yeah, it was a great, great night.
Now, Mel, I want to ask you about B&B. Did you by chance watch this last week when Steffi rode up to her wedding on a motorcycle, which of course has significant meaning for her?
Which made me bust out laughing, you mean? I don't care.
And she also is wearing a black wedding dress.
Well, she's pregnant, ain't she?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Save the devil. I mean, I saw her nails painted black and I was like, this dress is going to be some kind of effed up.
No, it is. I saw the conversation too, where Taylor was talking to Steffi, and she was like, "Oh, I'm so happy you're getting married to Liam," and so on and so forth. And she gives Steffi some necklace that Stephanie gave her, and blah blah blah. And she's like, "Oh, you're gonna have a baby, and everything's so great." And I'm like, "Why are we trying to paint this as some fairy tale wedding? Like Steffi didn't spend all that time scheming to get Liam, and like Liam isn't in love with Hope, and
Liam's in love with himself.
In love with ass from both of them girls.
Liam doesn't know who he's in love with, because I'll tell you, one minute he is running around chasing Steffi like, oh, look at us, we're so cute, we're so in love, and then the next minute he's telling Hope he'll never love anybody else. I mean, give me a effing break.
I think he just has a bad case of a performance anxiety disorder.
This storyline, I get what, you know, we get what they're trying to do. This is just history repeating itself. Blah, 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 blah. We get it.
Yeah, but didn't Ridge and Taylor make the offer? I mean, they don't ever let these kids make it.
I'm trying to get to that point. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I would just, it would be this, I think fans, I'm just speaking for me. Well, I think, you know, I'm just assuming by full, I can't say assuming, but I just think with fans would like this storyline a little bit better and wouldn't mind it being played heavy if they would have them together for a long period of time. Like the senior cast members were, like when Ridge would, like, say Ridge was with Taylor and Brooke was trying to get her hooks into him. They would have Ridge with Taylor for like a while. They would have Brooke try to beg, borrow, steal, and just toss it at Ridge. And Ridge would be like, maybe I should take a little sample and be like, no, I'm with Doc. And then, you know, for Brooke to finally be like, all right, then fine, forget you then, and move on. And Brooke does something that makes Ridge, you know, be like, damn, I miss that girl. I miss her doing this. I miss her doing that. That would play out over a year to 2 years. I know we don't have the time to do that, but I mean, but still, y'all been renewed. Y'all could do it. You could do that. I think people would like that to happen over time. Not Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he with Steffi, and Tuesday, Thursdays, and every other Monday, he with Hope.
It's the 15th of the
Yeah, I
month, and he's
can't
with
handle
Hope.
it. But it's exactly like you said. Give him a little bit of time because you like
More than 6 months.
It's not even. I would take 6 weeks for crying out loud. This is ridiculous. He's.
Yeah, that's why fans love the triangle between Brooke, Ridge, and Taylor because over time you got to see what the w other woman offered Ridge. Like Ridge would have been with Brooke, and then Brooke do something, and then he just sit there, look at Taylor doing her thing, and be like, "Damn, why didn't I make it work with Doc? Doc is this, you know, Doc is great on paper, you know, and she got a little freak leak too." For him to like over time to realize this is the woman I'm supposed to be with, not, you know. Oh, you know, I feel like blueberry muffins today and a little bit of Steffi. You know what I mean? Like,
Right. It's ridiculous. I mean, you have Hope 1 minute that you think that she's sort of accepting it or at least swallowing the bitter pill. And then the next minute, take me there right now and you're not going to talk me out of this. Well, you know where you could drive her? You could drive her to the fucking psych ward because that's where she belongs.
And she might just end up there with Caroline because I don't know about the rest of you, but Caroline has become the highlight of my D&B week. She is the single most hilarious thing on that show. And I know some of the rest of you don't particularly didn't like the character before,
Oh.
and I didn't necessarily like this crazy attitude that she was going to, but she gets wackier and wackier, and I'm just starting to like the character more, even
She's
more than I already did. Caroline or Caroline, Mel, what did you
Yes, they look alike, you know.
Caroline.
Belle, what did you think of Caroline's behavior this last week?
It is hysterical. I don't know why I find it so funny, but I do. And I love how they always put that super red lipstick on her. I'm just like, this is gonna be good. I don't know.
You know,
It's
she's
random.
fine. They find their niche with this girl because, you know, it's the same thing that they did with, oh, girl, I'm about to call you Jennifer Garris. Sorry, baby.
Don't do that.
They're both pretty, so okay. But they like, you know, when Steffi was this bubbly, up, you know, beat, bubblegum pop girl, it was like, girl, have several seats, have the Staples Center full of seats. But then, you know, and then when they made her a vixen, it was all right. Although they didn't make her the vixen like how we all wanted her, like for her to be messing with Bill, that would have been fine. But
Oh, this last week when he came in and was talking to her before the wedding, I was like, damn it, this should be Steffi and Bill.
well, I mean, and
Not
not
at that moment. Bill was dipping his pen in enough ink.
Well, and we're about to get to that because this last week there was a whole lot of hand wringing and asking for rings to be put back on hands. What did you guys think of Katie, Brooke, and Bill? Reagan?
Oh,
So
God. Oh, that.
she wants to put her ring back on her finger.
Oh,
I want you to put my ring back on my finger. Bitch, I'm talking
I'll
back to
never
me.
take it off.
Look, you want
God.
me to put a ring on it? I did it. Bitch, you took it off. Get it
Oh,
together.
it was it's ridiculous. I mean, I love Heather Tom, and I think she's been great with all the scenes taking off her ring. That was amazing. And then just, I just, first of all, I can't
She's
stand.
single-handedly salvaging this.
I can't stand Brooke. You all know that. But it's just in the crying and her calling him stallion. I was like, what is this, 1988? What is going on here?
Right. Jackie Collins book y'all been reading from the 80s. Sorry. You know, Jackie's my girl, but that's some shit that I would have read like in the stud or something.
But you saw the book that was beside her bed that one day, didn't you? I think it literally had a stallion on it.
And then Brooke's crying. I'm like, your sister's the one in the freaking hospital bed fighting for her life, and you're crying because you can't mount the stallion anymore.
And they couldn't find a medical reason either. At least that's what I caught before I had all the interruptions.
You know, I said it on Twitter before, and I'll say it here in case y'all didn't see it. This storyline, you know you're not supposed to like Bill and Brooke together, but you do, because they have the heat. You don't like how they got together. This is where I'm like, Brad, you have good gems, but you just are, you have them all over the place.
Yeah.
When Ridge was on Canvas, I prayed, because they alluded to it at one point that he was going to be with Brooke, but then all of a sudden he was with Donna. That didn't stick, thank God. And then he was with Katie. It's like, that was, should have been your money shot right there. It should have been, you know, if you got to throw Taylor in there to give Smitty Funky self a bone. Hey, Smitty. You know, throw Taylor in there. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you were going to have Taylor in the storyline too, you should have had, it should have been a Bill, Brooke, Ridge, Taylor type of quad, whatever. A square, I guess, in there. You should have had that in there. That would have been the heat. For Bill Spencer, someone who is, who can match and best him in any scene, you know, he can best him because he has money and he can shut down that company if he wants to and get his woman too. That should have been it. Katie in the mix, you don't want to like it because you like Katie and you feel bad because she got shitty ass heart. I thought the heart was supposed to be good because you got it from Stormy. I mean, I guess Stormy had a rotten ass heart. Who knew? But you don't want to like it, but you do.
Jillian, you're just cracking me up today.
You're not supposed to like it, but you do. But it's in the wrong scenarios. Like, I really, when Katie woke up and was like, put the ring back on it, I was like, girl, what?
She's saying ring, and she got that thing in her mouth that she's got her throat. Talking about ring, and ring go Brooke. And she wants you to put her ring back on finger. I'm like, really?
And I have, I really have my house. I have for you. I couldn't leave them there.
And I'm just like, Brooke, you want me to tell her? You want me to tell her thoughts now? I would like to know what's on her mind, because clearly you can understand.
I really wish it would have been something else where Katie was like, when I get out of this bed, I'm going to wring your face is right. What I'm going to do. That's not better.
I want Donna to spill the beans.
I do want Donna to spill the beans, because I want Katie to just sit down and think about this shit long and hard and be like, you know what? I had to put up with your funky ass going after Steffi. I put up with your trifling ass messing with Hope. Now you done mess with my big sister and you want me to do what? I just want her to lose her shit, bad heart or not. I just want Katie to just lose it, to just cold cock Brooke's ass. You know I love me some Brooke, but I just want her to just destroy Brooke. I want her to beat the shit out of Brooke, and I want her to tell Bill, I hope rolling around with her and her climbing on you, climbing you like some tree, like some monkey in some tree, was worth it, because I am going to own you. That is going to be Logan Publications.
Yeah, that would be good.
For him to be like, wait a minute now, and for him to be like, look, Brooke, you good, but you ain't that good for me to lose my company. And for, like, Thorne to come in there, and, like, for her and Thorne to commiserate, and for, like, Thorne and Katie to have some sort of, like, little love triangle. I don't think they're an ultimate couple. I just want Thorne to have a storyline. Windsor, I'm trying to work for you, honey. You should give me a cut of your check. But, you know.
What check?
Damn, Luke! Ooh!
When's the last time he's been on?
Like 4 weeks ago. It's on
exactly. Let's switch topics slightly. Another person who had a ring put on their finger this last week was Sammy. EJ proposed. She accepted. Looking forward to a EJ-Emmy wedding. Anyone?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I like them as a couple. And what? I'm sorry. I do. Lucas and Sammy are better as homies. As scheming,
I agree.
They're not. I just didn't like it. The boy tried to kill her. He tried to put it in the.
But were you worried at all this last week? The way Lucas kept going on and on about how worried he was for Rafe, because he thought that Rafe was still like interested in Sammy or whatever.
You don't worry about like, Rafe, all
this
right?
Better not be foreshadowing is all I could think.
You better worry about Rafe putting it on your mama. That's what you need to worry about. Forget Sammy. Worry about Rafe putting it down on your mama. Like, they need to give Lucas something else to do. I mean, Brian Attilo, poor baby, he's such a good actor, but they just cannot, they just can't seem to do it. I mean, they toss in women at Sean Christian, like, you know, like he is a senator and some at a convention, and, you know, they just tossing hookers at him, like, you know, they just tossing it at him. They just won't toss nothing at Lucas. Well, Lucas relates to everybody in town, but still, they need to give Brian something more to do. I am glad that Sammy's getting married to EJ, because the one thing that just bothered me when they have men with Sammy is that they want to change Sammy. And it's like, you liked her to go after her. You always praised how you liked how Sammy would quote unquote go after what's hers. You liked her spunk, her tenacity, her loyalty. But then when you get Sammy, you try to change her. Brandon did that, and it annoyed me. We knew Austin would do that because Austin's a punk. Lucas was her ace. Lucas was her right-hand man and would do the. And that bothered me. That was another thing that just made me like, really? And then EJ would do it too, and it's like, boy, please. I just don't want them to have EJ try to change her. And Rafe never really knew Sammy, so I'll give Rafe the pass because he really didn't know Sammy's backstory, so I'll give you a freebie. But I just hope that EJ doesn't try to change Sammy. I hope they don't try, like, he doesn't try to change her. It's like, so you met Sammy as a minx, you appreciated how honest she was, you go off the one of mine, I'm going to come after you back. So I hope they don't change that aspect of their relationship.
There was some exciting news this last week for Days of Our Lives. Former All My Children star Chrishell Stause is joining the cast as a new character. Though I really hope and pray to the soap gods above Salem that hover above Salem and strike people with lightning bolts when they're angry. What? That she is in no way, shape, or form connected to Daniel. Amen.
Oh, God, I hope not. Jesus, I can't. I can't.
I just, if they would do that to Chrishell Stause, who I have loved since she debuted as Amanda on All My Children, if they would do that to her, I would be, like, horrified.
Oh, you'll be absolutely horrified.
Horrified.
You'll be horrified for a year because, you know, they film and they film so far in advance, you'd be mad for, like, a year.
Well, TV Line, which broke this news, said that it would be possibly sometime in August when we will see her.
Yeah, because they clowned them.
Well, I figured it probably wouldn't be till November, the way, I mean, remember when they announced that Nadia Bjorlund was coming back? It was like August, and we didn't see her till
Logan. January. Yeah, Logan,
by these standards, August is quick.
Because Logan was like, you're coming back, but shit, she ain't coming back until January? I thought that was hilarious.
Reagan, I know you were a fan of Amanda Chrishell and All My Children. What are your thoughts?
I'm real happy for her that she's back in daytime and on Days of Our Lives. I would have loved to see her, you know, on General Hospital, maybe, as like a Sarah Weber or somebody.
No.
But see, I think she could have actually made a good Belle.
No.
So to me, the fact that she's coming on as a new character, I was like, come on, she could have been Belle.
Well, yeah, when she announced, when she was teasing people on Twitter about it, I was like, please, I was like, you know, even though this girl is starting to come into her own as Caroline, I will throw y'all readily tell Brad, tell her to kick rocks, because you know Brad famous for that too. I mean, that Drew Tyler Bell won them an Emmy, and then a week later, bye, bitch, it was was funny. That was funny too. So I was like, oh, please let her be Caroline, please. And then when they said Days, I'm like, damn. I was hoping she would be. I kind of wanted her to be Belle, but I'm like, who is this new character? And please do not let her be someone who is all pressed on Daniel, because, oh God, I can't do it. We can't do it again. Lord Jesus, we cannot. Like, how many women are they going to have Caroline Brady go after him too now? Like, I can't. I cannot. I can't. I would say Maggie, but Maggie, he mama. Maggie's his mama. If Maggie wasn't his mama, I bet you she would have gone after him too. Like, no. Come on, like, enough.
Reagan, you're going to need to set your DVR for April 23rd, because they're going to be doing a Magic Mike spoof. And
I was like, where's he going with this?
I know for a fact that you've watched the film, so you'll be able to tell us next week if it lives up to the
movie. Oh, I will
movie.
Admit to owning the film.
Oh, you own it?
Yes. Why she can't admit it so? Mm-hmm. That's a hot film, man.
Well, I own it just so I could watch on the DVD extras. You could just watch just the dance scenes, so that's why we own it. You don't have to wait on cable. Like, just wait till the dance scenes come up. I could just watch just the dance scenes. The rest of it sucks ass.
The rest of it is not important, Reagan. It's never important.
I was like, now we'll be sent to DVR too, possibly.
I may tune in to that day just to laugh, because I don't imagine it being all that good. Although GH pulled it off pretty great. So. They did Magic Milo pretty well at GH. I like it.
Spinelli put on a shirt.
Well, listen, not everybody can.
Mel, what? This last week, Kristen spent a lot of time trying to cover her butt, because the truth could get out about what she did with Brady and manipulating him. I'm always sort of intrigued when they have one of those things where an envelope ends up in 20 different people's hands and you're always worried about who's going to open it. But then my eyebrows really arched when it was Hope's little daughter.
Your eyebrows arched. Okay.
Who it was like, are they really going to have little Sierra be the one to open that?
Good.
Yeah. How long do you think it will be before Kristen actually gets caught?
considering this is Days of Our Lives, and how far ahead do they film? I don't know. What are we in? April? Possibly by next year, possibly. I mean, you never know.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? I will give Days this. They are going back to soap, to their roots with that shit. You know, that's what they used to do. You know, you think, you know, 50 people get the envelope and then it's in, like, you know, say, like, I did some dirty shit to Reagan and it's in the envelope. And then Reagan's chihuahua has it and Reagan picks it up and it's like, what are you doing, girl? And then I'm like, I snatch it and be like, that's mine or something. And Reagan's like, what's in that envelope? And then it's, you know, Reagan doesn't, she discards it, but then she's still in her mind, and then she finally busts me like 20 months later. I mean, this is going back to Days' history, so I kind of like it.
Well, let's talk about what may be the biggest soapy drama of the past week, and it wasn't even on air.
Reagan wearing that weave. Girl, I saw that too. Oh, I'm behind the scenes shit. Sorry.
Prospect Park is suing ABC for $25 million, in part because of the characters that were used on General Hospital. They said for over a year, ABC outright failed and refused to consult with Prospect Park on any storylines involving these characters, rendering Prospect Park's approval rights meaningless. They also brought up the fact that GH decided to kill off two characters, Cole and Hope, and revealed that another character was actually a GH character. Reagan, what are your thoughts? Mine was, this is soaps. People come back from the dead all the time. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. About them, you know, complaining about the characters being killed off. They all come back in one way or another. I'm sure even if an organ was donated, they could find a way to bring them back to life and say it was their evil twin.
Angela!
Jesse was a ghost on all my shows.
Yeah. You know, when I first saw it come across Twitter, I was like, what the F is going on now? And I just kept following it and following it. I kept thinking, where is my cocktail? I need to kick back with a drink and just watch all this. And the more like that, you know, once the actual, the lawsuit hit the net and you could read it and see what it was all about, I was like, are they serious? I was just, you know, I see some points, but again, at the same time, I kind of feel like Prospect Park gave up on this project so many times. And I just feel like the folks at GH were trying to keep a lot of these characters alive, and should Prospect Park really had they really not gone ahead at the 11th hour like they did, there's a possibility for some of these characters to
this
live.
This would all be a mute point.
Yeah, for some of these characters to have lived on, for a lot of these actors to still have jobs. And so I kind of feel like the whole consulting thing, who were they supposed to consult with? I mean, these shows didn't have writers.
I guess they're trying to say consulting with, like, GH should have kept them in the loop with what was going
on. But
I
who
guess
was
it?
Supposed to be consulted with? Mm-hmm. One Life to Live didn't have writers. They didn't have executive producer.
Okay, now I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I think they're trying to say, like, even though they didn't have anybody at the time, because that's one of the things in the lawsuit they politely gloss over, I will say, is that they don't never, not a nan, bring up that they didn't bring it to television or online when they were supposed to. But I guess they're trying to say, even though they did not go ahead with it the first time around, GH was not telling them. Even though they didn't have head writers, they still wanted them to be known. Whoever was picking up the phone, whoever Frank and Ron was calling over there to say, hey, y'all, we don't kill these babies off, for them to know. So in case they decided to use the characters, they would know. I guess that's what they're trying to say. So, yeah.
And Mel, I want to get your thoughts on it, but I also just want to point out that even though Prospect Park is suing ABC for this breach of contract, and there have been other back and forth that have been reported at various points in the stage of things.
Back forth.
Vincent Irizarry, Erica Slezak, and Torsten K will all be appearing on The View this week. Do you find it a little ironic that Prospect Park's actors are appearing on this network that they're suing?
It's all very, very interesting. And I think it's all interesting that this lawsuit came about a week before it's all supposed to air for the first time. And
will they still be
live?
You know, and will they still be able to go on there? I don't know anything. Well, you know,
all I know is it's still showing up on The View's website. It still says
well,
they're on
the
their
View website. That's a website.
It might change before Thursday,
yeah.
As of
you never
it's still
know.
Up.
I wonder if the lawsuit's going to be brought up.
I mean, well, look, you know, someone in the comments, Apple Ridge. I love you, Apple Ridge.
Hey, Apple Ridge is a great.
Let me finish. Look. Apple Ridge was like, they're not going to bring it up. I'm like, the actors won't bring it up. I'm like, the actors won't, but you know damn well Barbara Jill Walters said, I don't work for y'all. This is my house. Despite what these mofos say, I'm retiring. Barbara might bring it up. Or maybe ABC will say, you better don't say nothing, Barbara. But that doesn't stop Barbara.
It won't be Whoopi.
You never know. Whoopi may bring it up, because Whoopi may be like, what does this got to do with my chick? But, you know, okay, seriously, though, here's my thing with this whole lawsuit thing. The thing that just keeps bugging me is that if you had a problem with GH killing off Cole and Plastic Hope, my thing is this. The moment that number one, didn't GH tell you, you know, they said that GH wasn't keeping them in the loop, but me personally, if Luke is like writing for GH and he wants my character, I would be like, what the hell you want this character for? And then Luke would have to tell me. That's number one. Let's just say GH didn't. But number two, let's just say GH didn't do it, but number two, they did it. Why didn't you, at that point, when GH killed those characters off, why did you let them keep bringing characters back over?
Well, not only that, but it was the introductory storyline. I mean, it's like, this is something that's over a year old. If you had consulting problems with it before they even appeared on screen, you should have had an idea what was going on.
Right. Like, if you had a problem with it right then and there, you should have said, Urch! Wait a minute. What are you doing? And
you're not getting Blair. You're not getting Taya.
Right.
You know?
Right. If, you know, if it was me, I would say, look, let's just say hypothetically, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Let's just say GH was like, we ain't finna tell y'all nothing. You know? What if they didn't do that and then they killed these characters off? Why not say, what are you doing with these characters? If you're gonna bring in, if you're bringing on Blair, Todd, McBain, Taya, if you're bringing on all these cats, we're not letting you do what you did to them. So you need to tell us right now. Why didn't you do that? Like, why wait so long? If they're so integral, why did you keep not only, you know, bring them back the first time, why did you keep letting them come back? So that's the part that just bothers me with this whole lawsuit thing. I mean,
and I think letting them imply that Tomas and Lorenzo, is that his name, on General Hospital, are the same person, I feel like, you know.
I mean, yes, that's, I mean, that's what it was looking like they were alluding to, but if you had a problem with that, why didn't you put the pump, the brakes on that right then and there and say, Rich, you know what, we're forfeiting your rights to you,
exactly.
Todd, Starr, and John McBain. We're not doing that anymore. You're not borrowing them. That's the problem that I have right there. Why wait so long? If you had a problem with this from jump, why did it wait so long for you to say X, Y, and Z? Because we saw that they took a little break with some of the characters over time. During that break, you could have said, we don't want them back over here, or you bitches need to tell us what you're fitting to do, or we're not letting them come back.
Yeah, it's not like they were on for 365 days and then...
Despite what some people think, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the problem I have with this lawsuit. And we all know, ABC, I'm pretty sure ABC would have probably had to have given them money back to borrow those characters or come up with some arrangement. So,
well, there had to have been an arrangement for them, you know, legally. Sort of whether or not money was exchanged, there had to be an arrangement.
Some sort of financial aspect. You know, if you had a problem with it, why didn't you stop it the moment that Cole and Hope, you know, and just went over that thing like, you know, like a log or something? Like, I just, that's just the problem that I have there. And more importantly, everybody's been saying it. It's a soap opera. Soap operas can bring people back.
I was going to say, how do you take this before a judge and say, they killed off one of my characters? And the guy goes, what type of TV show is this? A soap opera? You know, if I was the judge, I would say, case dismissed. Well, these characters come back from the dead
all you have to do
the
is
time. Helena has gone off the cliff how many times? Stefano has died how many times? I mean, we, as someone pointed out about Jesse on All My Children, we saw him as a ghost.
My grandmother brings up
everybody back from the dead on All My Children at the end.
Right, well, my grandmother brings it up to
me. I mean,
day. She's like,
hell, on their own show, freaking Dixie Cooney ate deadly pancakes, and she's going to be alive on their show.
You know, my grandmother brings this up all the time. She's like, I remember when Stavros died. I saw that episode when he died. She forever brings that
out. Bottomless pit that apparently
bottomless. No. I don't mean that. I mean the first time when he cracked his neck, when he broke his neck, she's like, I saw when his ass broke his neck. But, you know, even forget if it's a soap opera, shows are always doing things about dead characters all the time. True Blood, The Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what's another show? Person of Interest. They do stuff with people coming back from the dead all the time. It's a show. You know, this is where creative license comes in.
And this is not a go ahead.
I was going to say, this is where creative license comes in.
Well, not only that, but this is not reflective on the writers currently on the show.
Oh.
This is just a statement about writing in general. If you are a soap writer and you find it impossible to bring back a character from the dead on a soap, then you should not be a soap writer.
I mean,
it's just that simple.
It's just some of the things in the lawsuit really just did stick out at me. You know, from the moment that those characters died, if they had a problem with it, why let them borrow more characters? Number one, when you saw that, you know, when you thought that Tomas was going to be Lorenzo, why let those characters come on back? You know what I mean? If you had a problem with that, why let them come back? If they weren't telling you what they were doing with the characters, why let them do what? Bring those characters back. Why not say, you know what? You guys are not playing fair. We're not letting you borrow shit. Mm-hmm. And just end everything instead of having that big whole showdown about, you know, Star, Todd, and John McBain.
Well, and here's another thing to consider, too. Because of the fact that General Hospital was able to keep those characters in play and viable, my question is, I don't have the answer to this, I'm just putting it out there. All My Children and One Life to Live, Prospect Park didn't successfully launch them the first time they attempted. They had the year extension, they kept going. How much of the fact that those characters were still alive, being watched by 3 million some viewers a day, 2 to 3 million viewers a day, make it still legitimately possible for them to get things up and running for the series that is now launched? I thought to myself, wait a minute, you're suing because these people died, and yet you had these characters on screen, which is basically going to be free advertising for this show that's now coming on. I mean, Todd's going back, Blair's going to be there, Taya's going to be there. These are all characters that people were kept alive on people's screens as opposed to being off screen for a year.
It just makes me wonder if it has more to do with those three actors, well, two of them actually, not wanting to come back full time. I just wonder
that was named in their suit also, that they, mm-hmm. wasn't it, that they locked them into contracts with ABC during that year span.
ABC released them, but that's the thing. ABC, it's been all over the place that ABC released them, and ABC told Prospect Park when they said, we want them characters back, ABC said, you could have them back. It just makes me wonder if they're mad.
Well, they said you could have the characters back, but the actors were still under contract with ABC.
But it's the actor's choice to be able to go where they want to go.
Exactly.
Roger went. I saw him on the set over there. Roger went.
My concern all along with this whole relaunch has been All My Children. I feel like All My Children maybe was what was lacking in the casting department in terms of who was coming back, you know, at first. And they've seemed to have bounced back from where my concerns were. But One Life to Live, I was never really that concerned about. And
because it ended in such good shape.
And it ended in good, you're right. And here we are, where it's really all about this lawsuit. It's really all about One Life to Live and these three actors and these three characters, mm-hmm. and the fact that Cole and Hope were killed off, and possibly Tomas, if that's who this third referenced character was. And it just seems ridiculous to me that it's all hinging on these characters and these actors, when really these actors could have, of their own free will, left, whether they signed on with you or not. They could have left and you would have been in the same situation, whether ABC played a part in it or not. It just seems really ridiculous to me.
We hope that they come to a mutually beneficial
whatever. I mean, bottom line, when it comes down to it, even if Prospect Park wins this, they're just winning money to pay ABC what they still owe them.
Yeah, exactly. we wish Prospect Park the most success in the launch of All My Children One Life to Live, because let's face it, we have missed the shows. We want them back on our screens. In the meantime, we're looking forward to having our favorites return to General Hospital, albeit in different roles. I think I'm going to just leave it at that.
Yeah.
We would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Later.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.